And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be talking about Donald Trump. It seems the whole world is talking about Mr. Trump, and every time I turn on my TV, I see him on one news program or another, giving an interview or being smashed and battered about by a certain news personalities. They call them news pundits now, I suppose. You know, Trump has really caused a ruckus. I mean, first he announced it, what was it, last June or August, I forget the date, but I remember the occasion. I remember him standing up before the cameras and saying he was going to run for president. And some people found it sort of humorous, but I mean, nobody doubts the intelligence of the man, that he must be a genius to have gone so far, and he's worth, they say, about $10 billion. Most of it he earned on his own. I mean, he's a cagey, cunning man, no doubt about it. Very brilliant. Now, some people like to point out errors he's made or problems with his thinking, or he's a bully, or he's not nice to the women. And oh, there's all kinds of things you can find out about him or imagine. But with that kind of personality, you know, can be abrasive, then he turns around and smiles at you. And you sort of like the old boy, don't you? And I know you do. You're friends of this ministry. It's hard not to like Donald Trump. Now, anytime I say a nice thing about a politician, I get it in spades from my listeners. I understand that. I do. Because, you know, you and I both know that it doesn't matter who the politician is, or even the country. We've only got one nation that we really are involved with. And that is the New Jerusalem. We've been brought nigh to Zion. Now, I'm not talking about the country that the Jews have taken over from the Palestinians and are murdering the Palestinians. I'm not talking about any earthly nation. No, we've got a heavenly. Now, I want to clarify that first when I say anything about Donald Trump, because I know you're going to write to me, some of you. You're going to say, Tex, Donald Trump's not even a Christian. Well, I think you're right, actually. I do. I believe you're right. I mean, I can't tell definitively the heart of somebody, but he was asking about forgiveness, and he said he can't remember anything he needs to forgive anybody for. He's never asked for forgiveness for himself. That's sort of a dead giveaway that he's not a Christian, isn't it? Now, he says, I'm a Presbyterian. The pews are full of Presbyterians, folks, that are not Christians. I know a bunch of them myself. A lot of ministers are Presbyterians. That's like being a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic or anything. What does that mean? Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, now listen, I know what a Christian is. It's a person who's been born again. John chapter 3. In spirit and in truth. Not according to the world. The world may confirm you, baptize you as an infant, and, you know, you may go to the Catholic, what is it, the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine, that's their Sunday school program, and get that certificate and all. None of that means anything. You may even go and go to the convent or the a seminary or a Bible school and get a big degree. That's still not answering the question, is it? Are you a Christian? And it's always puzzled me that the men who have all the doctorate degrees, and you know, I've met them, of course, I've taught at three universities, and they're so pompous and arrogant, they won't even answer the question, are you a Christian? Well, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, you know, on Judgment Day, when God asks you, well, I don't think he's going to ask you, he's just going to pronounce. But if he were to ask you, put it that way, are you a Christian? What are you going to say? Well, a lot of you are going to say, oh, yes, I am. Now, some of you are going to say, I did mighty things in your name. Why? I taught people about Christ. I taught Sunday school. I helped children. I was a member of this ministry, that ministry. I gave money to this group, that pastor, that, you know, all of these things you did that were good things. But friends, you and I know. You and I know that that's not what God is talking about. He wants somebody who will obey him and be his disciple. Actually, it's greater than that. Christ Jesus wants somebody who will be his friend. Does that surprise you? That's what he told his disciples. He says, you're not my just my followers. You're my friends. Boy, I've leaned on that a lot. I've used that a lot. When I've talked with God in the dark times that I've had in my life, I haven't had many, but I've had a few, and I grab onto that. I'm your friend, Lord Jesus. You said you'll never forsake me or leave me. I'm your friend. Remember that. Actually, I don't have to do that very much. I know he's my friend. That's the wonderful thing about being Christian. You always have a friend. If your friends forsake you or kick you out of your church, or your neighbor doesn't like you, or your wife fails you, or your kids think you're a terrible parent or whatever, well, maybe they're right, so you better fix that. You better fix that. But remember this, Jesus will never forsake you. Well, I wasn't supposed to speak about Jesus today. I'm supposed to speak about Donald Trump. And that they're not the same thing, folks. Donald Trump may think he's Jesus, but he's far from it. Now, we're at a very precarious time in America, a time when psychopaths rule. Psychopaths rule. They rule everywhere. Of course, the Jewish billionaires control America today. They have for about 30 or 40 years. If actually 50 years. At least 50 years they've just almost totally controlled America. Not completely though. We've had a few presidents that have given them fits. One of them was killed because he gave the Jews fits. John F. Kennedy. Another, Richard Nixon, was, well, he was ousted from office by the Jews because he gave them trouble too. Now, Donald Trump is a real troublemaker. He's a real troublemaker. And frankly, I like that. You should too. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, we meet a lot of troublemakers. You know, Jesus didn't have to do much to be a troublemaker. He was just himself. he didn't act. He didn't put on. The Pharisees wanted to know, and his friends even, are you the Messiah? John the Baptist asking. Jesus didn't even brag about it. Boy, he could have. Can you imagine all the things that he did in the flesh? He could have bragged on forever and ever, couldn't he? He could have said, I'm the Messiah. I've come for Israel. I've come, you know. But he just simply said, well, you know, go back and tell John the Baptist that people are being healed. And you know, he told him some of the acts that he had done, which was to relieve John's mind. Surely the Son of God is at hand. But he didn't brag. And even when he was before the Sanhedrin and Pilate, he didn't brag. In fact, that was one of the problems. He didn't brag. He didn't spout off and say, you know, you can't put me on the cross. Well, I'm the Messiah. I'm the king. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus very calmly said, it's as you say. Thou sayest. Which is an idiom in Hebrew, meaning you said it, bub. That's what we say down in East Texas, is a little boy. You said it, bub. That's right. But it was a very calm, thou sayest, I am a king. And for this purpose came I into the world. Man, that was all the speech he needed. Now, Donald Trump says a lot more than that. I guess he thinks he needs to impress. And he has impressed a lot of people, a lot of Americans. He's caused the biggest stir and commotion in politics that I've seen in my lifetime, I believe. Although, you know, a few have done other things, you know, the Nixon, the Watergate and all that. Of course, Clinton, you know, messing around with the Monica Lewinsky and being impeached. All those things certainly caused a ruckus and a commotion too, but Donald Trump is pretty surprising. You know, the man does not drink. He's never drank one drop. Wow. In today's world, that's astonishing, isn't it? Never drank a beer, never drank a glass of wine. He's never smoked a cigarette. How can that be? Not one cigarette. And he's never taken pot to inhale or exhale or anything else. You remember the old, you know, statement that Clinton said, you know, well, yeah, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale. Of course, that was just another one of his many lies. But everybody knows it's true. And all of his family were asked, you know, do you take these things? No, they haven't either. Why haven't you? Well, it never came into their mind because every day they say, their father, Donald, starts off the day by saying, don't smoke, don't drink. How can you start off every day like that? But that's what they say. He makes a point of it. Maybe that's something for you and I to think about. Boy, his kids have turned out pretty good. In terms of this world, at least humanitarians. Now, listen, I want to tell you why Donald Trump is hated. Oh, he's hated. He's despised. And he's got a target on his back, a bullseye, in fact. Donald Trump says he believes in the Second Amendment, constitutional right to keep and bear a firearm, and he packs heat. He says, I have a firearm on me on occasion. Good for him. He'll probably need it. There are people that want to murder this man, want to kill him. Do I know who they are? I don't know the specific names, but I'll tell you a bunch of people that I suspect that wouldn't be fair, would it? To finger them without direct knowledge. But they want to kill him. In fact, one of them is Glenn Beck. You know Glenn Beck, the Mormon. Glenn Beck says that Ted Cruz has been called by God to be president. Glenn Beck says that Ted Cruz is another Moses. Going to lead us across the sea, into the promised land. Glenn Beck points to a Mormon teaching on prophecy. The Mormons said that someday America will be hanging by a thread. Our freedoms will be hanging by a thread. And that a Mormon or a Christian will be elected president and will save the nation. Ted Cruz is that man, he says. Now, he loves Cruz, but Glenn Beck seems to hate Trump because he was talking about Trump and he said something and it was pretty shocking to me. He said, I want to get a knife and just stab, 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 stab Donald Trump until he's dead. Boy, that didn't sound very Christian to me. I don't know of one person on this earth that I would like to stab with a knife until they're dead. I know a lot of people that have done me very, very wrong. Very wrong. But I don't want to kill any of them. I'd rather Jesus intervene in their lives and you know, let them know that they've done Tex Mars wrong. I'm no goody-goody. Don't misunderstand me, but I don't believe in killing somebody or harming them. I suspect there are very few that listen to this program that really want to do something like that. But if you did, I hope you'll get on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you, because it's just, that's not the Christian thing to do. But that's what Glenn Beck said. But Glenn Beck, of course, is a big fake. Did you know he fakes crying? I've seen him. I actually have photos of him in the studio, you know, practicing it. And he has tears coming down. And then he'll laugh about it. Yeah, that's good. He practices crying to make it look realistic, you know, when the cameras roll. He practices crying. I've never had to practice. There's enough tragedy. There's enough drama. There's enough horrible things happening in this world that I guess I just shed tears naturally. I don't really have to try to cry. If somebody has to cry, try to fake crying, I don't think they're a very sympathetic man. I don't think they really care. In fact, I believe they're a psychopath. But Glenn Beck, you know, he's a Mormon. And Mormons, many of them are psychopaths. Satanism is big in the Mormon church. In fact, that's true. A Mormon bishop was asked to investigate by the head of the Mormon church some years ago, and he came out with a report, and he found all these people practicing satanic worship within the Mormon church. I've got his report somewhere in my files here. Wow. I'm not talking about just they believe in Satan on the side. I'm talking about they literally have rituals inside the Mormon churches. But you know, that would have to be true. Look at the Mormon church. Look at the horror that they stand for. They believe that Lucifer and Jesus are brothers. They believe that Jesus is one of millions of gods. Wow. And that you and I are just like Jesus. We can earn our godhood too and go and be, you know, God of some other planet out in space. And Ted Cruz has bought into that stuff. Oh, he thinks Beck is a great Christian man. He's had Beck lay hands on him and all that stuff. I wouldn't have a Mormon lay hands on me for love nor money, friends. No way. That's the devil. Now, if you're a Mormon, well, you need to get some of the tapes that we've got here, some of the books that we have here. Now, come on. You know, Joseph Smith was married to many women. I think latest count, they found like 27, 37. I lost count. Had a lot of them got divorces from their husbands and married him. Oh, he was a handsome devil. He was handsome. Mm-hmm. In fact, his sexual immorality was what brought him, one of the things that brought him down. The people of the little town he was at, Novo, Illinois, at the time when he died, boy, they'd had enough of that guy stealing their land, taking over the town's politics, stealing their wives. Even the Freemasons were angry at him because he stole their rituals. He became a Freemason, stole their rituals, and integrated them into the church. And today they still have the Masonic rituals. In fact, did you know that the Mormons all wear Masonic underwear? You got to have your special magic underwear if you're a Mormon. Now, that'd have been the funniest thing in the world for somebody to reach up, and while old Mitt Romney wasn't looking, you know, he was up there speaking on stage, reach up and grab his belt, pull his pants down. Not for any, you know, lewd purpose. I'd just like to see those magical underwear, wouldn't you, friends? Of old Mitt Romney there. I'd like to see those Masonic symbols on them. They have Masonic symbols on the underwear. Magic. Magic. Oh, my. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why Mitt Romney is so opposed to Donald Trump. because he knows Donald Trump is not a puppet of the Jews, like Mitt Romney is. All of the Masons are. They have ties with the Jews. Did you know if you're a Mormon, you can go preach? They've got Mormon churches inside Israel today. In fact, they have a Jewish rabbis going around to Mormon churches today, right now. Think about that. Rabbis, Jewish rabbis in Mormon churches. One of them said that he visited the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City, and one rabbi visited there and said it's the most holy building he had ever been in. The most holy building the rabbi has ever been in. It has the same God. His name is Devil, D-E-V-I-L. Oh. And that's Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney works for Bain, B-A-I-N. Bain, B-A-I-N. That's run by a former member of the Israeli Mossad. Yeah, a former member, top member of the Israeli Mossad spy agency runs Bain. And Mitt Romney works for her. It's a her. Can you imagine? He knows Donald Trump doesn't work for a company like Bain. He's got his own company. He's his own boss. In fact, Trump is paying for his own campaign. Now, Trump was invited to a big meeting of all the Jewish, poobahs. You know how to spell that, don't you? P-O-O-B-A-H, I think. If you don't know, just call them the big wigs. The Jewish big wigs, the billionaires and all that. He went to their meeting early on after he had, declared he was running for president. And he said, when I'm president, I'm going to try to negotiate a peace between Palestine and Israel. They began to boo him big. They didn't want peace. The Jews of Israel have never wanted peace with Palestine. They say they do so they can deceive and fool you and I and America and the United Nations and all. What they want to do is actually snuff out, extinguish, and kill every Palestinian Arab. That's what they want. And they're doing exactly that. So Trump said, I'm going to negotiate, between Palestine and Israel when I'm president. Boy, they began to boo him. He said, I know why you're booing me. Because I don't take money from you. You cannot control me. Oh my goodness. That was the secret. The secret was out. The Jews control all these people. Did you know that more than 70% of the money that George W. Bush received when he ran for president came from rich Jews? About 80% of the money that Hillary Clinton receives comes from Jews. And today, two Jews put up money for both, for the amounts of money. One of them is named Haim Saban, S-A-B-A-N. He's a big giver to Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. On the other hand, there's Sheldon Adelson, the casino, Las Vegas casino. Actually, I shouldn't say Las Vegas, because he owns a big Sands casino also in Red China. Oh, these people they get along with the Chinese just fine. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, they have all their gambling and all that down there in Red China. And Adelson, of course, controls the Republicans. I just read in the paper, in fact, that Ted Cruz has asked for all the rich Jews to come to meet with him. This very weekend, Ted Cruz is having another meeting of him and the Jews because he's about to run out of money. They said he's only got about $10 million, and it's not going to last one more month even. He's spending money on these lying ads trying to blast Trump, and he needs more money. So he's got to meet with all the Jews. In fact, Ted Cruz met with the 10 richest Jews in New York City. They were all gays. Every one of them were gays. Well, I heard a rumor maybe one wasn't, but I'm not sure about that. I think he is. Yeah, he met him at a penthouse in a hotel. Told him he's all for Israel. How can these people be for Israel when Israel wants to murder all those Palestinians? And Israel doesn't want peace. And that's what Trump knew. And he said, I want to negotiate a peace. I'm going to find out who wants peace and who doesn't. Oh, my goodness. The myth is, the Jewish myth is that they want peace and the Palestinians want to kill them. Of course, that's not so. In fact, many of the Palestinians do want to kill them because they're being killed. The children, the teenagers, they're being murdered. Their land's taken away. In fact, that was one of Trump's main problems. He said the word Palestine. If it had said, I want to negotiate peace between the Palestinians and Israel, that would have been different. You see, the Israelis say there is no Palestine. Do you get that? Remember Newt Gingrich, who took money from Sheldon Adelson in the last political election? He said, there is no Palestine. It doesn't exist. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, who was a communist of Israel, said there is no Palestine. We came here as Jews to take over a nation where there was no people, huh? Where there was no, they don't even recognize there's people there. Well, not according to the Jewish Talmud. You're not a person either. You're a beast. You're an insect. You're cattle. You're goyim. So I guess that's what they're referring to. So Trump messed up right away by saying Palestine. He admits that they went into Palestine and they've been fighting with Palestine ever since. So there are two nations there, Palestine, and they're building a wall all around Palestine. Does the wall work? Well, I guess it does if it's a wall built by the Jews, keeping the Palestinians within their little ghetto neighborhoods. They didn't like that. They didn't like Trump telling them, I don't want your money. Oh, my. You see, the Jews have figured every American politician wants their money. That's how they run all the governors and the senators, the congressmen. That's how they tell them what to do. Because they know the politicians want their money. But Trump stood up to them and said, I don't want your money. And this weekend, while Cruz is meeting with a bunch of rich Jews and others in the so-called donor class, Trump turned down an invitation by Sheldon Adelson to go to Las Vegas for a big confab. They invited him and other Republicans to come down and chat with them. Oh, yeah. He said, I'm sorry, I haven't got the time. Uh-oh. You don't tell Sheldon Adelson you haven't got the time. That's, my goodness, he's the big poobah. He's got billions of dollars in. Goodness, you tell him you don't have the time? Well, that's what Trump said. We got a New York primary on the way here. I gotta work here. Sorry. No time. Friends, you don't understand. The Jews understand that America is at their beck and call. They control America. As a former prime minister of Malaysia, Mahathir, once revealed, and boy, was he ever, ooh, they like to scold at that guy. It was at a big economic meeting down in Asia some years ago, and he said, Israel rules the world through the proxies, such as the United States, who do their wars for them, are their proxies. Wow. They rule the world through proxies. You know, the book of Daniel says that the last day's world ruler will rule through a small people. That didn't mean pygmies. He meant a small number of people. You know, that's what the Jews do. There are only about 18 and a half million Jews in the whole world, but they run the world through their proxies. They control the money supply. Get our book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. See how they do it. Okay, we're going to return in just a minute. We're going to have a lot more revelations about Donald Trump. Why do they want to kill him? Well, two words, immigration and trade. And we'll talk about those two words when we return. In just 1 minute. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. The Protocols of Zion by Sergius Nelis. Actually, it's not by Sergius Nelis at all. It was brought to Sergius Nelis, a Russian minister, a wonderful Christian prophet. Back around 1905, a very prominent and rich Russian woman went to Paris, France. And she met with friends there from the Grand Orient Lodge, an atheist lodge that is run by the Jews. And she brought back to Russia with her a shocking document entitled The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, 33rd Degree. Now remember that 33rd degree. That's a Masonic designation. And it shows that that lodge happened to be of Scottish Rite origination. Now, Sergius Nilus was a very modest Christian gentleman. And he was writing a book, The Great Within the Small, a prophecy book. And when he read the Protocols of Zion, he knew that God had delivered that book into his hands. He included it as an appendix, just an appendix in his bigger book, The Great Within the Small. He said, this is the plan of the ages. This is the plan which the Jews have used to wreak such havoc and trouble in the world. This is the plan they will use to destroy Russia. To destroy Russia and bring in he said it, they're going to bring in communism. They're going to take over Russia. The Jews will have this country. That was in 1905. Just 12 years later, one of the strongest nations in the world, Russia, was turned into a monstrous communist prison camp. And 66 million Russians, mostly Christians, were battered, beaten, tortured, and killed. 66 million by the Jews of Russia, by Vladimir Lenin, a Jew. Leon Trotsky, a Jew. Kaganovich, a Jew. And all the others, Jews. Not Russians, Jews. But many of them took Russian names to hide who they were. It only took 12 years from the time that book was published. See, God gave the Russians a chance. He gave them he said, this is coming. I'm giving this to my prophet, Sergius Nilus. Get ready, prepare, it's coming. The Russians weren't ready when Vladimir Lenin and the others, Kerensky, and the others took over Moscow and began to bring such horrible tragedies into that country. And Sergius Nilus himself was arrested. He was one of the first ones. They fingered him. They knew that he had published this document. And it had spread around the world. It was in Great Britain's museum, Natural Museum. And it even gained precedence in America. And the courts brought in Sergius Nilus and they said, you've done great damage to the Soviet Union. They changed the name, see, of Russia to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. They gave him 10 years in prison for publishing a book. Oh, yes. They believe in freedom of the press, don't they? We have this book. We have Protocols of Zion. You know, some years ago, I wanted to read a copy of that book. I wanted to see if it was true. If it correlated with all the other information that I have here that I've been gathering and studying and researching for some years. And I went to get a copy and there was none around. I found it wasn't even published in America. The Jews did not want it to be published. And my very knowledgeable friends in the publishing industry said, Tex Mars, stay away from that book. Stay away. The Jews don't want it to be published. They'll punish you. You watch out. They'll take over your ministry. They'll slaughter you. You'll be killed. Watch out. Don't have anything to do with that book. And that's what they told me. I didn't listen to them. I went right ahead and got the book, a copy of it. It was only out in a few, you know, sort of badly done, badly covered. It just, you know, wasn't really done that well, but there was the information. and I reset it, got a nice cover for it, wrote the foreword for the book, and now it's flown. The thing is about the sixth or seventh printing now. Even Amazon offered the book. Amazon.com offered the book, Protocols of Zion. They still offer it. But the Jewish ADL must have gone to him and said, wait just a minute, you cannot offer this book. But they did. They offered it. See, God has his plans, doesn't he? God wanted the Protocols of Zion out there once again. It had not been published except in pirated editions for all of these many years. And then along comes Tex Mars. Oh, he's stupid. He's stupid enough to publish that book. To do what God said, publish that book. Because I studied the book and I said, this book is true. It's authentic. And Sergius Nelus was a great Christian man. I look at his life and I wish I was just 10% of the true Christian, Sergius Nelus. He was punished for this book. He spent 10 years when he came out of that prison camp. He was a broken man. He died just a few short years later. But he'd done what God wanted. He'd set the world on fire with his book. Now this book, I want you to have this book. This book will tell you what is happening to Donald Trump. You'll know why the Jews hate him so much. For one thing, he's against immigration, except according to law. For a second, he's against all of these wicked, cruel, evil trade deals. And you'll find in the Protocols of Zion that they want immigration. They want all of the nations of the world to be mixed together. And all of the religions of the world to come together as one, except, of course, Judaism. The Jews will stay separate. Now, you notice in the Middle East, there is one country that won't allow all of these refugees to come in. That would be, of course, Israel. They're right there. They're right next to Syria. And they got plenty of land. Why don't they allow a couple hundred thousand of those Syrians into their country? Why don't they allow some of the Iraqis to come into their country? Why do the Syrians and the Iraqis and the all of these people from Libya and so forth, and Morocco, and all of these suffering peoples of the Middle East, why do they have to go across the world to the United States to take up residence? Why don't the Israelis take them in? Well, they don't do those things. They think their blood is pure. They can't soil their blood. They can't soil their nation's land. In fact, their Talmud says, never give up one inch of your land. Never. Did you know it's a death penalty in the Talmud? You get the penalty of death for selling your land to a non-Jew. Oh, yes. You can't be an American and go buy anything in Israel. You can't do that. You can't go buy land in Israel. You say, well, Tex, that's not true. If I got enough money, well, go on. Show me how much you've bought. Show me how many of the homes there belong to Americans who are not Jew. I can tell you right now, it's a great big goose egg, a zero. Because they're prejudiced. They discriminate. And they want America to be spoiled. They want America to bring in Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists. And if you're a Christian and you say Christianity is the only way, they go, oh, you're a horrible person. Of course, for Judaism to be the only way, of course, that's true. Oh, yes, that's absolutely a fact. Even though I show an upcoming book, wait till you get my next book out. Oh, my goodness. Holy Serpent of the Jews. You'll see who they worship. I want you to have this book, The Protocols of Zion. We published it. It's a wonderful book. I've included material in there by Henry Ford, the great founder of the Ford Motor Company, the great industrialist. He believed in the Protocols of Zion, as have a number of other great Americans. And he tells what he has found out about the Protocols of Zion. He was asked, is it true? He said, well, it's being worked. It's happening. Just as this book says, they're doing it. They're taking over the globe. Find out about it. By the way, they say through trade, through the economies, they're going to bring them all together too. There will be no more nations, no more borders. They will trade across borders, and their dupes, their disciples, will take charge of all the world's governments. That's what they've done. That's why George W. Bush, he bowed and kissed their little feet. And so has Barack Obama bowed and kissed the very soles of the shoes of the Jews. Well, Donald Trump says, I'm not going to do that. America first. That's what Donald Trump says, America first. I haven't heard of that for, 100 years in America? America first? Why? Barack Obama said, that's foolishness. Americans have to give in to all the rest of the world. There's no America first, but Trump says, yes, there is. And we've got our laws, and we're gonna deport all those that are in this country illegally. Ooh. I'm gonna build a wall to keep them in from Mexico and South and Central America. Ooh. That's powerful, folks. Protocols of Zion. $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Get your own copy. See what it says. You'll find out it tells the truth. It's really an amazing book, very cunningly written, very deceptive. But you say, wow, so that's what's happening. Get your book, Protocols of Zion. By the way, you may want to give some copies away to friends. I know they'll say, oh, is that book that we're not supposed to read? Say, yes, it is. Tex Mars published it. By the way, the ADL put their little book review in Amazon. They actually put two book reviews in Amazon trying to stop my book. I wanted to write to the Jewish ADL and say, please keep put those book reviews in there. Help sales of my book. You know? Oh, my goodness. You know, when you do the Lord's work, things work out for the best. Don't they? Well, okay, here's the book. $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. $25, ask for the Protocols book. We'll know what you mean. Protocols of Zion. I think it's really called the Protocols of the Learned Elders. It's almost a big name. Just call it Protocols of Zion for the Protocols book. You can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us too, send us $25, say, Tex, send me that book. We'll get it right in the mail to you. Just write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We like to call this the Republic of Texas, but the Postal Service disputes that, so we just call it Texas. 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com. It'll take you to the same place. TEXEMARRS.com. Why is it Texy? TEXE? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I keep that a secret. Why? It's no, I'm going to tell you. You're my friend. I'll tell you everything. Yeah, the midwife and my mother couldn't decide how to spell my name. Well, they should have just called me Tex, but my mother had this idea, you like Bob and Bobby and Jim and Jimmy and Bill and Billy. She wanted to call me Texy. Oh, isn't that ridiculous? Now, you don't tell anybody this, will you not, friends? Yeah, she wanted to call me Texy. I'm embarrassed about it today, but anyway, my mother was a very sweet, sweet-hearted woman. She wanted to call me Texy rather than Tex, but her and the midwife who delivered me couldn't figure out how to spell Texy. Was it T-E-X-I-E? Or was it T-E-X-E-Y? Or now you may say, well, why did they have such a hard time? Well, you know, my mother didn't have the best education. I always joked, you know, that my mother went all the way through high school. Yes, she went in one door and out the other door, all the way through it. But you know, that wasn't very nice, was it? She was a very brilliant lady. My dad was extremely intelligent, reading all the time. You know, they just didn't have much formal education. But they were very, very smart. And my daddy, Jerry's over here smiling in the studio. Jerry, my broadcast engineer. You know, my dad, he knew everything. I mean, this guy, he learned how to work on cars. I would help him. Of course, I just handed him tools, you know. And he didn't know how to teach much, you know, but hey, give me that, you know, Crescent Ranch here. Hey, give me that, you know, I never really learned it. So I'm still a dummy today on auto mechanics. But he also fixed TVs and radios. He just got interested in that. So I'm going to learn how to do that. Pretty soon he had his own, you know, the little space in the garage was full. Then he actually built a shop under our house. And then he began taking in TV, and you know, he wouldn't charge anybody for these. He just did it for fun. Pretty soon everybody was bringing their TVs, and he'd have a big stack of them in there. Yeah, that's Bill, you know, Huffs. He lives over on 7th Street. Yeah, I'm fixing his TV for it. That's so... One time there was this guy who was crippled. He was in a wheelchair, and he lived by himself. The poor guy, and he got along real good, though. And my dad fixed his TV. The guy called my dad and said, can you help me out? You know, I use my TV for my entertainment, and it's out. My dad said, well, sure. So he went over, drove his car over, and got the man's TV. And he lived by himself. You know, it was sort of a sad case. But so my dad fixed his TV and then said, Tex, I'd like you to, you know, you're going to drive across town. I want you to take this over seat to Mr. So-and-so's house and tell him I fixed his TV for him. And I said, okay. And tell him he don't have to pay me anything. You know, it's all free. So my dad was very generous, very good-hearted man. So I went over there to the gentleman's house, and oh, he was so happy to see his TV back. Oh my goodness, his old black and white days. He sets it up, and I helped him set it in the corner, and he had a wheelchair, he couldn't, you know, get around much. And he said to me, now how much is that? You know, how much are you going to charge me for that? I said, oh, my dad told me don't charge you anything, it's free. We got all mad at me. He got angry. Wait, he said, wait just a minute here. I can pay. I may be crippled. I may not have a good job, but I can pay. I don't need your welfare. You know, that's the way people used to be. He didn't want welfare. He's going to pay for that TV. So I had to do some real thinking, you know, and I was a high schooler. I was about 16 years old, and I told him the truth. I said, well, sir, my dad said he didn't have to buy any new tubes or rectifiers or anything for your TV. He got them out of old TVs. See, my dad, he'd be driving around the neighborhood, and he'd see somebody, you know, they just threw out their TV, was old and was decrepit, threw it in the trash can. He'd stop, and he'd pick it up, put it in the car, and take it. So he always had all these old TVs, and he'd take out the tubes and put them in. This is numbered. They all numbered, you know, on top. I said, he didn't have to pay for one thing to fix your TV. He said, he didn't? I said, no. He took it out of other old TVs that he got free, you know, that had been junked. The guy said, well, I guess that makes it okay then. I said, sure. My dad, he's not at anything. He said, that's his hobby. So just let him do it and not charge you. And he looked at me, and he went up and he grabbed me, you know, pulled his wheelchair up to me, just hugged my neck. Says, you tell your dad thank you. I said, I will. And I told my dad, he just laughed big. My dad just laughed big. He got a big kick out of that, you know. Then when I told him that the man hugged my neck, and I said, but Dad, I had to think fast. You know, I'm glad, you know, that you didn't pay for anything you had to buy something on that TV, because he would have gotten really upset. He said, yeah, well, he's a good man. I said, yeah, he is. Well, anyway, you know, sometimes I just like to tell folks out there who Tex Moores is. Maybe, you know, you just have to sort of understand where I came from. And I'm a very poor man, or I used to be poor. Now I'm doing all right. But I want you to know something, dear friends. I have a great heart for the poor and for the working man. Let's just call them middle class and below. I don't have anything against the rich, but there just seems to be a lot more poor working class people. And you know, Donald Trump said he feels more at home among those kind of people too. He doesn't like being around the rich, but that's sort of strange, isn't it? Maybe God made him that way. I hope he's telling the truth. I've always felt that way. I've always enjoyed being around the poor. Around the working class, the middle class, and below. And, you know, who was it who said God must have loved the poor? He made so many of them. That's sort of a true thing. Well, that's what my dad was. My dad just seemed to, he loved the poor and, you know, sympathized with them, and he believed he was one of them. So anyway, that's my dad, W.T. Mars, William Troy Mars, bless his heart. He's in heaven today, along with my mother. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Donald Trump. He's got a target on his back. They've killed our president before. And, you know, my good friend Michael Collins Piper, he passed away not too long ago, bless his heart. Michael Collins Piper wrote a great book, The Final Judgment. He exposed the fact that Israel's Mossad had plotted with the CIA and the FBI and even with the mafia in killing John F. Kennedy. They murdered him. They also carried out 9-1-1, working with the Saudi Arabians and American traitors like George W. Bush and Cheney. Think about that. The Jews did these horrible things. What would it take to kill one more? I mean, this man, he could, if he's elected president, he's going to stop immigration. Now, they want cheap labor. They want to, and he's going to stop the fact American factories bleeding and going overseas. You know, Carrier, Ford, Nabisco, all of them are setting up all these factories overseas, putting American men and women out of work. Trump says he's going to stop all that. Why, they're making money from that. They're paying those Mexicans down there a buck and a half an hour. They don't want to come to America and pay $25 an hour. The Chinese are over a billion Chinese, and 500 million of them don't have jobs. Did you know the Chinese now are putting robots? I wrote a book on this, Robot Alchemy. They're manufacturing robots and putting them in their electric plants. They're making Apple. They're making all kind of TVs, computers in Red China. And they're using robots to do it. They don't even want to pay their own workers. They got a billion workers and 500 million are out of a job, but they don't want to pay them. They don't want to pay them. I'm telling you the truth. Did you know that at the largest corporation, Foxconn Corporation, that workers there began to kill themselves? They were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. They lived in a little one-room stunted apartments, and they were working their lives away, and many of them would go up to the top of their building. It was the largest manufacturing building in the whole world, the largest facility, and they would go to the top of it and jump off and kill themselves, and there were more and more of them. Every day, they had people driving around the building looking for dead bodies. Think about that. That's what a horrible situation. Well, the president, what did he do? Did he feel sorry for the workers? Did he raise their pay a little bit? Did he say, okay, you don't have to work so long? No, he got mad at the workers for killing themselves. He said, you're embarrassing Foxconn. I'm going to replace you with robots. Now, isn't that nice? Isn't that a good-hearted man? I mean, your Apple phone could be built by Foxconn. And men and women have killed themselves in building those phones. And Trump says, well, I don't want phones built. I want them built in America. And if the companies go over there and build, if they take our factories and move them overseas, I'm going to make them pay a tariff, a tax, to sell them inside the United States. Uh-oh. We're big buyers of cars. Millions of cars from Japan, from Korea. Televisions, computers from Korea, from Taiwan, from Red China. If we stick a big tariff tax on those, that means the price of them will go up in the United States. Now, somebody says, oh, I don't want to pay that high price. I like paying that cheap labor price. I like paying workers, you know, 50 cents an hour in Red China, or paying a robot nothing except maintenance. Yeah, well, that's good for you. I'm glad you like that. Folks, listen, a man deserves a working wage, and no more, no less. He doesn't deserve welfare. He doesn't deserve Obamacare free. If he's willing to work, pay him what he's worth. And that's what Trump says. Why, you know, we haven't had a president say things like that. What? 40, 50, 60, 70, I mean, as long as my life, they said, we've got to have free trade. Free trade. We need NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Act. We need the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's free trade. Obama said, well, I want smart trade. I want fair trade. Uh-oh. The big boys are not going to make as much. Hey, folks, they're the one percenters. They're making billions. They want to keep making it. You know, I've told you before, I one time was at a bookstore and there was a magazine there. I believe it was a Forbes magazine, you know, business journal. Forbes magazine had a picture of Mr. Walton. And at the time, he was the richest guy in America. Had billions. You know, he owned Walmart. He's died since then, and, you know, they parceled it out, and I think his six family members, they each got a share of it. Now they're no longer the richest people in America. They're like number six, number five, number 10, you know, on the list. But Forbes was talking about Mr. Walton. And the headline, they had a picture of him on the front cover, and it said, Sam Walton, richest man in America. What does he want next? Wow. I wanted to know, what did the richest man in the world, or the United States at least, what did he want next? It just sort of got my interest. So I got the magazine. I didn't want to buy the magazine, but I picked it up and turned to that article and glanced at it. I found out right away what he wanted. He had more money than anybody in America. What did he want next? He wanted more money. He wanted to be bigger. He wanted Walmart to be built throughout Asia, throughout Red China, and on and on. He wanted more money. And I thought, isn't that the way the devil's kingdom is? The more money you got, the more you want. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what Paul told his young disciple Timothy. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of it. Walton had plenty of money, but he wanted more. And I since that time, that was probably 30 years ago, 25, something like that, I have never again picked up an article that said, so-and-so is very, very rich. What does he want next? Now I know. It doesn't matter whether it's Zuckerberg who owns Facebook or Mr. Bezos who owns Amazon. They want more money. Oh, I guess a little fame wouldn't hurt, would it? But mostly they want money. How much time we have there, Jerry? Oh, no, only 30 seconds. Well, Donald Trump, he better watch his back. He better keep packing that heat, better keep that gun on, you know, on his person somewhere. Because they'll kill him. Because he's going to stop the invasion of the immigrants coming in, the illegals. I know they say you can't use that word anymore. It's politically incorrect, but I still use it. He wants to stop the invasion of the illegal immigrants. He's going to build a wall. He wants to bring factories back to America. Punish the companies who don't do that. He wants to bring the jobs back. He wants to make America great again. He wants to make America first once again. Wow. That means the rich won't be as rich. That means they, rather than 20 billion, they might own 5 billion. They don't like that. They want more and more and more and more. They could just kill him. He's got a bullseye on his back. Watch out, Donald Trump. I'm praying for you. Watch out. This is Tex Mars, dear friends. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.